Amen. Look over at your neighbor and say, he's done great things. Hallelujah. That's the only kind of things he does is great things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you turn in your scripture tonight to 1 Peter chapter 4, and you can remain seated again. This is the series we've been looking at on Sunday evening. There'll be a time when we bring this all together and have a way just to really pinpoint your gift, and then we want to move beyond that and find new ways that you can put your gift to use in the body of Christ. Amen. We each have a role. We each have a part in the body of Jesus Christ. Remember our little kind of theme we got started with? There's no appendix in the body of Christ. Everyone has a role and a function and a gift in the body of Christ. I want to tell you, that's one of the things the enemy will tell you, is that you're not important to the body. You're not important to the family of God. And that's just not true. That's not true. Amen. Amen. If you're a born-again believer, you're an important, integral part of the body of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about what on earth are you in the church for? And we've been reading this verse. We'll read it again from 1 Peter. As every person or man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Tonight, I want to talk in particular about your passion. I want everyone to ask yourself a question tonight. What is my passion? What is my passion? And I pray tonight that will be with you as you go through the week, and you'll just really begin to realize what truly is your passion. So we're moving beyond just your gift. We'll come back to that. But there's something that makes your gift work and shows you where that gift should be used, and that is called your passion. Let's pray before we get into this evening. If you'd bow your hearts with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your people, the redeemed. We've been singing about all night. Lord, we've been redeemed by your mercy and grace. Lord, so thankful that you shed your blood that we could have that redemption. Lord, help us to see this wonderful plan, this body of Christ, Lord, that you have each for us, for each of us, a role to play. God, anoint me tonight that it would really penetrate into our hearts and on an individual basis. Lord, there would be something in people's hearts that would say, that's it, that's it, that's my passion. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and the body of Christ said amen. We as Christians, we speak against addictions. We warn against addictions. We say addictions are bad. But tonight from the Bible, I want to give you scripturally an addiction that's okay to have for a Christian. So tonight you can leave here saying there's an addiction Christians, believers should have. I turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. Paul speaking to the church there. And I'm not going to go into the context of it tonight because that's not my purpose. But he said, I beseech you, brethren. And then he gives this parenthetical thought. You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, here it is, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They are addicted to serving believers. They are addicted to serving one another. The word means that they have pinpointed that as something they're devoted to. They are all out. Remember, the word ministry is not grabbing a microphone, being a pastor, being an evangelist, having a big singing ministry. But the word ministry is to serve, to meet needs. And these folks, they are all out in seeking to meet needs of their fellow believers, their fellow saints. And in that word addicted is this idea that they are passionate about it, that they're so caught up in meeting the needs of their fellow believers because they have this passion to do that. Now, that's an okay addiction to have, to be addicted to serving and meeting the needs of people. Amen. And to have that kind of addiction, there must be this passion. Amen. A huge indicator where you as a believer should use your gift is determined by the passion that you have. Some folks have told me, and really we think that's the hard part, they get excited. They say, I know what my gift is. I know what my gift is. And we want to get to that point. But the next question that hits us is, what do I do with it? Where do I use it? How do I put it to use? Well, a big indicator of how you use your gift is, what is your passion? Now, I want to look at what passion is in general. You know, just when we speak in general. In general, passion is a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or for doing something. I mean, it's something you're excited about or something you're excited about doing. You got enthusiasm for it. You know, we're living a time when people are kind of bankrupt on it. You know, there's some folks don't get excited about anything. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Hey, man, I mean, you can talk about folks getting saved. You can talk about, you know, all of these blessings. They just don't get excited about it. But if you're excited about something, that is, or about doing something, that is your passion. Some folks have a passion for shopping. You know how you can tell what somebody's passion is? Because it's like turning on a switch on them. You know, it's kind of like an animated toy. It's just standing there, and you turn the switch on it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what people's passions are. It's what turns their switch on. And so some folks, you say, shopping. You just say the word, shopping, and their face lights up, and they go animated. Others, they have a passion for hunting. I'm talking just in general now, okay? This isn't your gift, you know, the gift of bow hunting. This is in general here. Some have a passion for hunting. I mean, you can see them at a party. They're bored, you know. What am I doing here? Let's go home, boy. And someone will bring up hunting. Hunting, let me tell you what. The switch comes on. That's their passion. Some have a passion for maybe sports. you can bring up these wonderful scientific truths, and they look at you like, and you say, well, how's them Reds doing? That's their passion. You see, in the church, it's different things. For some, it's a passion of teaching. And I'm not going to list every passion tonight. I can't. But for others, it's a passion of soul winning. For others, it's a passion of blessing people through song and through music. For others, they have a passion of helping the unfortunate. Some have a passion to be used of God and the worship gifts and all these different kinds of passions. And so let's look what passion is in the sense that we're using it tonight, that every believer should have a passion. What I'm talking about is a personal, God-given desire for a particular, specific ministry through which one can help others and glorify God. And this is what I'm talking about, the believer's passion. God gives it to you. It's a very customized, groomed thing specifically for you, and it's something you're just all enthusiastic and excited about to help others and to glorify God. You know, Brother Bill was talking about those angels tonight, and I kept thinking about this tonight. And that's why so many folks never find their passion, is because they don't realize that a passion is to be excited about something that turns the attention away from self and turns the attention to God and gives God the glory and helps others. And again, and at the point of redundancy, I want to emphasize, we cannot continue to think of ministry as this professionalism of a few in speaking and preaching and teaching and singing, but ministry is serving others. And a passion is when you have a God given desire for a very specific type of way and way of serving one another. There's other things we might could call this passion. We might could call it a burden. Some folks say talk about their burden. We could call it about a vision. I heard of one pastor that was going to preach tonight about his vision, or about vision in the church. And somebody thought he was going to talk about division in the church, and thought, man, things are really getting really bad. Hey, amen. There's a big difference between division and vision, right? And to some, They may refer to their passion as a vision. I've got a vision for this. Some say it's my calling, and some say it's my place in life, and other things that we could call it. And just like we as people have different gifts, we also have different passions. And here's something I want you to get a hold of, and it may be hard to think about for a moment, but did you know two people can have the same gift but have different passions? Let me give you an illustration of this, and I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm just going to pull this out of air and use this illustration. I think Sister Darla here, like myself, has a gift of teaching, but we have two different passions. She has a passion for teaching children, and I have a passion for teaching young adults and young marriage. See, we got the same gift, but we have a different passion. So you see how this, knowing what your passion is, helps show you where to use your gift. I want to give you some truths about passions tonight, passions in the service and the kingdom of God. And I know even if you're a fast note taker, you may not get all of this. And I do believe these things are important. It may be one of those things you want to listen to again to get to that area where God is speaking specifically to you. But let me give you some truths about these passions. First of all, every believer has one. There's a little code here I'll get to a little back. You say, I don't think every believer has one. But listen to the emphasis, every believer. Or maybe I should say every born-again person has a passion. I believe if somebody has truly been regenerated, if they have truly been born again, they have the life of God in them, with that life of God comes a specific God-given desire to do something for His kingdom. Let me tell you something else, another truth about passion. Different people have different passions. I'm going to come back to that in different ways tonight, but that's an important thing to get. Different people have different passions. It's a simple thing, but if we realize it, it helps us and it helps others. And you know, this passion that I'm talking about is the uniqueness that each of us are born with, meshed with God's gift. And the reason we all have different passions is because we all are uniquely created. You don't believe that? Just look around. We're all uniquely created. And God takes our uniqueness and He joins that with this God-given desire, and therefore we each have different passions. If we all had the same passions, many things that need to get done would never get done. Many people that need to be reached would never be reached. Many needs that need to be met would never be met. You know, for instance, one person, all they think about is how to help the youth do better spiritually and how to minister to the youth. Someone else, all they think about is how to minister to the senior saints or whatever groups we could pick. But you see, if we all have the same passions, some group would be left out. But since we have different passions, different folks are served and different folks are helped. Here's some more truths about passions. It's not a bad thing that you do not have the same passion as someone else. The only bad thing is not to have a passion. But it's not a bad thing to have a different passion than someone else. You know, here's the thing. You can be shamed by not having the same passion as other folks. For instance, you know, we have a wonderful children's ministry, and we have these Wednesday night classes, and we've got folks right here that devote themselves to teaching those children back there on a Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, you say, well, you know, I don't get too thrilled about that. And you can beat yourself up and let other people, you don't get excited about teaching those kids on Wednesday night? Now, those that's back there, they need to have that, but I'm talking about someone that's not back there. And someone can beat you up about that, and what they're forgetting is not everybody has a passion for the same thing. And I go right back to this. If we all had a passion for the same thing, lots of folks wouldn't get ministered to. So it's not a bad thing to have a passion different from others. And here's some more truths that we really need to get. A passion is what motivates you to get involved in the kingdom work. You find something that you desire to do, something that would excite you to do, something you see needs to be done, and that desire, that enthusiasm, that excitement causes you to get involved in the kingdom work. Notice I didn't just say church work, the kingdom work, because the work of the church is the advancement of the kingdom of Christ, and the advancement of the kingdom is the spread of the lordship of Christ, and the spread of the lordship comes when folks are introduced to the life-changing Savior. And so you see, it's our passion that motivates us to get involved. Folks wouldn't get involved in the work of the kingdom if it wasn't for the passion. Now listen, this is important. Passion is what helps you find what is meaningful and important to do in your life. You know, everybody needs that. They need to do something they feel is meaningful. They need to do something that they feel is significant in life. Living for something bigger than yourself, it's your passion that motivates you to find what it is that you can do that is meaningful and important and exciting in life. Your passion, here's another truth about passions. Your passion may not seem important to someone else. And neither will someone else's passion seem important to you. And that's where sometimes we get at odds. Well, what you're excited about is no big deal. Well, you're looking at them saying, well, what you're excited about is no big deal. Right? Amen. That's the truth about passion. So here's another important thing. Passion is not the same thing as obligation. Passion has a different attitude, a different approach than obligation. Now, I'm not saying all obligation is wrong. I think it's good. But do you realize how many things we Christians just do because we feel obligated? That's not a passion. Let me give you an illustration. Here's George. He finds we have outreach night. We're going to go out, knock on doors, find people that are in church that don't know Jesus. And George is going to show up because he's a good Christian. And a good Christian does the right thing, and Christians should witness, and the pastors ask for folks to come up. So George, he feels obligated, and he shows up. He's not excited about being there. You know, he's not got a happy look on his face. He'll knock on the door, but it's timid. He'll talk to folks, but it's obligatory. He'll hand him a tract. That's George. He does it under obligation. But here's Gilbert. Gilbert hears we're having outreach, and he just loves to meet new people. He thinks one of the coolest things in the world is to share the gospel with somebody that's never heard it. And he hears it's outreach night. He gets all the tracts he can. You can tell he's enthusiastic. Every pocket's bulging. He's got 6 or 7 different kind of tracts. He pulls them out like a pistol when he sees somebody. He's ready, and he's just excited. I mean, every person, you have to drag him away from the door. He just enjoys meeting. See, George was doing it because of obligation, but Gilbert had a passion for it. And you know, there's things we do and need to do under obligation. But it's wonderful to find that thing that you can do with passion. Can you say amen? Following your passion will lead you to finding your role in the body, what God has called you to do. Your passion may be a group of people. Your passion may be a particular role. Your passion may be a certain thing to be achieved. You say, I've got a passion to work with children. That's a people group. You say, I have a passion to be an usher. I want to stand out on the parking lot, help people get out of the door. I want to greet them. I want to give them a big smile and a breath mitt and a bulletin, and let them know how much I appreciate their being in the service. You just got a passion that's to play a role. Maybe your passion is to achieve something. You begin to dream about our church building another church on the mission field like we've done in the past, and you're just consumed with that. It's to achieve something. Those are some truths about passions. Let me give you some indications, some ways you can tell what your passion is. Here's some ways you can tell what your passion is, and I've alluded to these things as I introduced passion tonight. But maybe you can ask yourself this question. What do you get excited talking about? What do you get excited talking about? What subject causes you to become animated? What subject do you like to bring up if you have the opportunity? Here's another way you can tell what your passion is. When you're really seeking God, you're really praying, you're really reaching out to the Lord with a desire to make a difference. What keeps surfacing in your heart and mind? And you keep thinking, if I could only do that, I could make a difference. Here's another indication of your passion. What things do you do well and you enjoy doing them? See, this is how it goes hand in glove with your gift. I mean, what do you really enjoy doing? And you can do it well. That'll show you and be an indication of your passion. What do you dream about? What do you dream? And I'm not talking about fantasies. I'm talking about real desires. Amen. You know, you can have all kinds of fantasy. You know, I could begin to dream that I'm a world-renowned singer and I fill up the auditoriums. And that's fantasy. That's different than me thinking to myself, oh, if we could just reach this kind, if I could just do this for the kingdom. Amen. What do you dream about doing for the kingdom of God? Here's another indication of what your passion is. What do you lose a sense of time when you're doing? I mean, that's, you know, when you really got a passion for something and you're doing it, you lose all sense of time. Amen. Amen. Or put it another way. Amen. What can you lose yourself in doing? That's an indication of your passion. Here's another indication of your passion. What do you seek out and volunteer to do? I'm not talking about food taster at the church dinner, but I'm talking about what is it that you just find yourself volunteering to? Hey, pick me. I want to do that, Pastor. Amen. That's an indication of your passion. You know, if I say we're wanting to start a jail ministry, and you go, oh, me, pick me, Pastor. I want to be a part of that. That's an indication of your passion. You want to be involved in that. Amen. You volunteer to that. Another indication of your passion is, what are you doing that you feel you were born to do? What are you doing that you feel that you were born to do? I mean, you know, we're not going to go back and revisit all of that, but there are things that you were born to do. And the same is true of our new birth. There are things we were born again to do. I've heard that news commentator say several times, I love doing this because it's what I'm born to do. Well, for the child of God, there ought to be things you love doing because you recognize that's what you were born again to do. That's a passion. Amen. What do you see that needs to be done and you would like to do it? This is a good indication of passion. You might have seen things tonight that you see that need to be done around here. That very well could be your passion. That's why you see it and somebody else doesn't. And you know, and my wife got a hold of this some time back. You know, somebody would say, well, don't you see how this and this needs to be done? And used to, she'd say, okay, I'll do it. Now she said, well, maybe that's something you need to do. Yeah. Now, if it's a gripe, you won't want to do it. But if it's a passion, if you're seeing that needs to be done because that's your passion, you'll say, oh, thanks for the opportunity. I'm so thankful that I get to do that. But here's the most important thing, an indication of a passion. Do you want to do that thing because it truly helps others and it glorifies God? That's a passion. I want to do it because it helps and it glorifies God. I want to bring it all together tonight, and I wrestled with how to present this, but I'm going to present it this way. I want to talk to you, but bring it together. I want to talk to you briefly before we end about the frustrated Christian, the frustrated Christian. I believe a lot of Christians are frustrated because of one or two reasons. Number one, they have no passion. And it kind of begs the question, I referred to this earlier, it kind of begs the question, can you truly be a believer, be born again, and not have a passion to see folks saved, not have a passion to see the kingdom advance, not have a passion to see God glorified in worship? Can you really truly be born again? But let's say, for the sake of our message tonight, that you have a claim to be born again. You will be a frustrated Christian if you try to live your Christian experience with no passion. You don't get excited about anything. You don't get enthusiastic about anything. There's not anything you truly want to do for the kingdom of God. You will be a frustrated Christian. Secondly, I believe a frustrated Christian is someone that has a passion, but these things are true. Let me give them to you, and I think that different ones of these will speak to different folks. You're a frustrated Christian. You have a passion, but first of all, you have a passion, but only for self and selfish motives. You know, there's folks that have, let me just make something up. They got a passion to sing, but it's not so that folks can be blessed through the song. It's not so they can sing and see souls come to the altar. It's not so they can sing and see souls. They like to sing because they like the way it makes them feel when people say, boy, that was a good song. It's an ego thing. You'll be a frustrated Christian if you have a passion, but it's only for self and selfish motives. You'll be a frustrated Christian if you have a passion, but you are not faithful. Let me explain why. Please get a hold of this. You'll be a frustrated Christian if you had a passion, but you're not faithful. I can think of several, but I'm thinking of one in particular. A man that is a great preacher and has a passion to preach, but he's never went anywhere in that ministry, and I'll tell you why. He will not be faithful. I'm talking about faithful in attendance, dependable. Some folks are frustrated because they really have a passion to do something, but they're not faithful. You say, well, why should that matter? Well, first of all, the way I understand Scripture, God only puts people in roles if they're faithful. It don't matter how gifted, it don't matter how much passion they have, and those are important, but they're only put in a place, in a role, if they are faithful. Let me give you a scripture. Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, he gifted me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into service. See, it's not just how much gift you have, how much passion you have. It's are you faithful? God puts the faithful where they can serve. That's what God requires to do his work. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, that's why we got frustrated Christians. They got a passion, but they never get this faithfulness thing. Let me give you the biggest reason. Because when God invites people into his eternal kingdom, he never says, well done, thou good and gifted servant. He never says, well done, thou good and passionate servant. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So take this very specifically. Some folks are frustrated in their Christian experience because they have a passion, but they are not faithful. And in like manner, some have a passion, but they're not pure. You know, I'm a firm believer. It does not matter how talented or how gifted. The chief requirement to be involved in the service of the Lord is purity of heart and purity of mind. The Lord taught me that years ago, and I wasn't going to digress in all this, but I will. When I first began to preach, I was 17. I was a teenager. I thought like a teenager. I got in some messes like a teenager. But early on, and I started right out preaching. I mean, it was quite a, you know, almost every other weekend or so, revivals. And God taught me to start praying this, and I did, and I needed to pray it. I said, Lord, don't let me preach if I'm not pure. And there were times that on a Friday night, I just didn't keep my heart the way I had kept it, and I had to preach that Sunday morning or on a Saturday night. And I remember staying up a lot of the night saying, Lord, I don't want to get in that pulpit if my heart's not pure, my mind's not pure, and begin to seek the Lord. And I'll tell you why. I said this before, and I've heard, I had people did not say, no, that's not true, that's not true. It is true. And hear what I say. You know, folks say, well, I don't get used, or, you know, nobody has a place for me. And I don't believe that, because I believe this. Every pure vessel always gets used. How many believes that? I'm not trying to prove text, but let me give you one scripture here. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared into every good work. I've got gift. I've got passion. Yes, but am I pure? What vessel got used? The vessel that was sanctified. That's the one the master put to use. So some Christians are frustrated because they have a passion, but they're not living pure. Well, I've killed the spirit. I'll continue here. Some Christians are frustrated because they have a passion but can't get past that others don't have the same passion. They come to church, they're so excited about this ministry they would like to start. And they begin to talk to people, and people look at them, yeah, I don't think that'll work. Nobody else is excited. And they give up on their passion, and they live frustrated because not everybody else got excited about what they were passionate about. Have you seen that? Some Christians are frustrated because they have a passion, but they expect others to make their ministry. They expect others to accommodate their ministry. I've dealt with this as pastor many times. You know, folks will have a real passion to do something, and then they want to just sit back and say, now, pastor, you make it happen for me. You make the position. You get the ministry going. You put me in it, you know. And then they get upset because I'm not able to do that. You see, here's the thing. If you've got a passion, it's because God sees a need. And if God sees a need, He will make a way. If you'll follow your passion, do these other things, be faithful, the purity in your heart, He'll make it where your passion comes to maturity in that ministry. It's not up to someone else. It's up to God. God's the one that raises up and sits down. Some are frustrated Christians because they have a passion, but they're not a team player. I believe that's important. You say, oh, that's modern talk, that team player. No, that's Bible talk. You know, I love telling folks, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. The cross is level, or the ground is level at the cross. And I know we have different positions, and we have to have that for an authority structure and this and that. But in the kingdom of God, we are in this together. I mean, isn't that what we start out singing in the primary? So if we all pull together, it's something we're in together. And some folks have a real passion. And I'm just picking things out of the air. But I've seen folks that had a real passion to sing. Oh, I love to sing. Won't you come join the choir? I don't like singing in the choir. I like singing them solos. That's what I like. And they got a passion, but they can't work with anybody. They can't have anybody work with them. I'm telling you, you'll be a frustrated Christian if you have a passion, but you're not a team player. You see, every part of the body is different. That's true. I've emphasized that enough. But how many knows that every part of the body works in harmony? Harmony with the other parts. Right? I mean, it wouldn't be any good if this hand's trying to hold this mic and this other hand's slapping it down. You know, we got to work in harmony. Sometimes it don't work too well when I try to maneuver those steps. Something gets out of harmony, but that's the way it is with the body. It's got to work together. A frustrated Christian is someone that has a passion, but they let others' lack of approval or disinterest keep them from it. You think your husband's going to be excited that you have a passion to be involved in that ministry. And you tell your husband about it, and he says, oh, you don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. You know, that's no, you know, that's. And all of a sudden, you lose that passion. A frustrated Christian is a person with a passion, but because there's no current ministry, you don't pursue it. I've had folks blame the church because we don't have a certain ministry or because some individual wasn't doing that ministry. And they may have a passion for that, but they're frustrated because it's not there. You know, I have found this over and over. There are so many things I'd like to see our church do. And one of them I've mentioned is, you know, I'd like to see us have some kind of jail ministry. You know, Jesus talked about visiting those, didn't he? And I'd love to have that. But you know what I've been waiting for? I've been waiting for somebody that has a passion for that, and then we can get something going. I think, and I've made this mistake, I think the wrong thing for the church to do is to make a ministry that no one particularly has a passion for, get a ministry started, and then not have anyone with the passion to make it happen. And we could go through the mechanics of and get the information and start a jail ministry, but we got to have somebody that has a passion for that. Can you say amen? And then another frustrated Christian is someone that has a passion, but they've not yet identified their gift. Now, I put a lot on the table and maybe too much of that frustrated stuff, but I just want you to know there is a passion. And when you recognize through seeking God what it is, nothing has to stop you from God using that passion to put you in a place where you can make a difference in the kingdom of God. You can make a difference in the body of believers. You can make a difference in somebody's eternity. I want a passion. I think we ought to live passionately as Christians. I think we ought to be motivated by passion to do something for the kingdom. Would you come, music? I was thinking a lot about this passion. And I haven't thought about him in years. It's been years since I've read anything about him. But Brother Kroger, I began to think about David Brainerd. How many does that ring a bell, who David Brainerd was? He was an early missionary to the Native Americans. I held a revival about 15 years ago in eastern Pennsylvania. The pastor took me out to the place, the field. It's just a field now. They're doing some excavation there for Native American artifacts. But he said, right here in the field is when David Brainerd came over the mountains from New England and he began to preach. He began to preach to the Indians. And that really moved me just to think that. And I went into the little church there too. And David Brainerd, he was dead by the time he was 39, but he had a passion for the Native Americans. And this is no lie. He would go out in the wintertime, be overcome with the burden for the Native Americans, fall right down in the snow in the woods, and begin to seek God and to pray that God would save them. And I may not get, this is what stuck in my head, I may not get the measurement right, but they said at times he would melt the snow 3 feet around him because of the fervencies of his prayers. Now that's a passion. I said, that's a passion. You know, in light of that, what are my passions? Winning a video game? Is that the thing I'm most passionate about? My sports team winning? Making more money? I don't think it's that way in the kingdom of God. Did you know your passion is what you wake up thinking about and keeps you up late at night? And I believe as born again children of God, every one of us has a God-given passion to make a difference. I've said it so many times, I'm going to bore you by saying it again. But the problem with our society is they live for no greater purpose than their own selves. But I want to tell you, you find meaning and significance when you live for something larger than yourself. And your passion, your God-given passion, will allow you to live for something bigger than yourself. Would you do something with me? Would you begin to really pray? Maybe you already know what your passion is. But if not, would you begin to pray, God, I really want to make a difference. I really want to live for something larger than myself. Would you begin to pray, God, show me what my passion is. We'll get back to the gift, but you see, the passion helps us determine where we're going to use our gift, okay? But would you pray together, God, just show me where my, you say, I'm shy. You can still have a passion about something. You say, I can't get up in front of people and talk. You can still have a passion for something. Amen. You say, I'm young. You can have a passion. You do have a passion. You say, well, you know, I'm getting up in years. You can have a passion. You can have a passion. Didn't he have a lot of passion? Came to seek and to save that which is lost. Set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem and die. I'm glad our Savior had a passion. Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? God bless you tonight. Amen. Would you come and fill these altars and say, oh God, I want to have a passion for where I can make a difference. Would you come? It's a passion where you can serve. It's a passion where you can help folks and glorify God. It's that kind of desire. It's a motivating thing. It's a motivating thing. God, show me. Show me what it is. Come on, let's really pray that prayer tonight. Lord, show me what my passion is. Lord, and if I know what my passion is, Lord, where are you leading me? How do you want me to use this in the body of Christ at Union Road? Lord, how can I make a difference? What's that ministry? What's that work? Lord, what's that service that I can do? Hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful to live motivated by a passion. Obligation is good and it's a needed thing, fulfilling our responsibilities. But so much better when we live with a passion. I'm doing it because I'm excited about it. I'm doing it because I'm enthusiastic about it. I'm doing it because God has birthed in me. God has birthed in me a desire to make a difference in this area. Hallelujah. Would you ask Him tonight, Lord, show me my passion.